I've got a few days coming up. I can't say anything to my wife, so I'm not going to say it. No. Do continue to pray about that. It'll be a week from this coming Friday. And so pray about everything be well. I really don't have any apprehension, a little, but I think everything will be okay. It's just that I may go lock myself in a room, nobody around, and so won't be able to talk. And that's hard for a preacher. My goodness, tell a preacher he can't talk. And I guess maybe I can revert back to my younger days when I was bashful and didn't talk. That would be something. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 18. We'll start there, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 22 and be dealing with really one of the great heroes of the, I almost said the Old Testament, but he's also mentioned in the New Testament, and he's a great hero of the faith. And I was sitting this morning reading and just reading the text here, and I kept reading and kept reading. And I thought, boy, I'd like to be able to just read all this in church this morning. But there'd be no way of doing that to make statements on all of it. But the man by the name of Abraham, we hear a lot about him. There's much in the scriptures about Abraham. And this morning, I want to just use him as an example of following God. Abraham, our example of following God. You'll find in the scripture, if you look it up, 250 times in the Word of God, Abraham's name is used. Now, that's quite a few times for what some people would say is an insignificant person in the Old Testament. But he's very, very significant. We know that he's the father of the children of Israel. He's the father of the Jews. And he is called in the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 3:9, he's called Faithful Abraham. And what a tribute to a man for the Holy Spirit to direct the Apostle Paul to identify him as Faithful Abraham. And he uses terms that others have used, but I want us to, and we'll get into those in just a few minutes, but in Genesis chapter number 18, we have the account where the Lord has revealed to Abraham that Sarah is going to have a child. Sarah overhears that in her tent, and the Bible says she laughs. For she realizes that Abraham is way beyond years, and she is way beyond years of bearing children. And when she hears those men that came to Abraham and said, the time this year, Sarah will have a child or have a son, she overhears that, and to herself, she just laughs. And I don't think it was a laugh of scorn or something like that, but it'd be sort of like you and I if somebody said your wife of age is going to have a child. We'd say, yeah, sure. And that's, I believe, the attitude that Sarah had. And she knew it was impossible physically for them to have a child. They've gone all these years. And she laughs, and then she denies that she laughed in verse number 15. She says, Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. If you read on down just a few verses, the Lord is talking about Abraham, and God is getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. And the Lord makes the statement here, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Do I tell Abraham, or do I hide it from him that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed, and very, very soon and very completely? He says in verse 18 of chapter 18, Genesis, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. What a wonderful statement that is. Abraham is going to become a great nation. Hasn't even had a child yet, but he is told that he's going to be a great and a mighty nation. And he's told that all the nations of this world would be blessed because of him. Now, I believe that is a direct reference to the blessing of the world that has come about because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, a direct descendant of Father Abraham. And so all the world is going to be blessed because of Abraham. And so he's a very important character in the Scripture. And he tells us in verse 19, God says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see where they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. Notice here, "But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Abraham knew there was someone in Sodom that had righteousness in his heart and in his soul, even though he did not live or portray that in his life. For he knew that his nephew Lot was there with his family. And as soon as he hears that God's going to destroy Sodom, he begins to ask the Lord, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And then Abraham begins to sort of make a bargain with God. And he says, "Lord, if you find," what's he say first? "If thou 50 righteous," and he goes down to 45, and then to 40, and to 30, and to 20, and to 10. If you found that many righteous in that city, would you spare it? And God said, "Yes, I would spare it." But he didn't find that many. He only found Lot, and I'm not sure about his family. But we know from the Scripture that the New Testament tells us that the daily walk that Lot did vexed his righteous soul. And his soul was righteous. His life may not have been. I believe I know some people like that. Sometimes I'm like that. Sometimes we know our soul is right with God. We know we're saved, but our actions sometimes does not portray the Lord. And so Abraham begins to be faithful to the Lord for his family. And God says, I know Abraham, and he will command his children, and they shall follow, or they shall keep the way of the Lord. Now, if you go over a few pages, a number of years has passed by when you get to Genesis chapter number 22. Now, we can turn the leaves of our Bible very quickly, but the sands of the hourglass goes by slowly, and a number of years has passed, and by the way, Sarah did bear a child, we know that, and Abraham raised his child, Isaac, and Abraham was faithful to God. Just like God says, "I know him, I know what he will do." And when you come to Genesis chapter 22, we have here the story of the offering of this promised child. Now, I've preached on this, I don't know how many times. I've read it, I don't know how many times, but it does thrill my heart every time I read it or think about it or have a message from this particular passages that we're looking at as we deal with Abraham and his son, Isaac. Now remember, God says, "I know Abraham, and I know what he will do. I know Abraham, I know that he will guide his household. I know that he will train them. I know he will command his children, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." Now, when we come to Genesis 22, Isaac is not a little boy. Sometimes we picture him as just a child. But Isaac was a full-grown individual. Still the son of Abraham. By the way, doesn't matter how old we are, we're still the son of our fathers. We are still that in that family. And so Isaac now is a full-grown, I believe, individual. And Abraham, throughout the Scripture, is referred to as our father. Both New Testament and Old Testament, he is called our father. He's our spiritual. We are spiritually the children of Abraham. Israel is physically the children of Abraham. But thank God the Lord has grafted the Gentiles in, and spiritually we take on the children of being the child of this man by the name of Abraham. He is called our father in the Old Testament 2 times, and he's called our father 7 times in the New Testament. So we have many instances. If you remember, when the rich man died and lifted up his eyes from hell, he cried unto who? Father Abraham. He says, "You send Abraham, send Father Abraham that he warn my brothers." And so Abraham has been an integral part of the history and of the nation of Israel. And he was a great man. I love to read about him, love to study about him. And Abraham is said in the Scriptures to be the father of our faith. Is accounted unto Abraham for righteousness. When God saw his faith, God says, "I'll put it to his account. He's righteous. He's a child. He's a person of God." And what made him the father that he was is the response that he has that is given to us in Genesis chapter number 22. Abraham was not only the father of the nation of Israel literally, but he's the father physically of this man and this child that is a miracle birth given to us of Isaac. 3 times in our text, as we'll read this morning in chapter 22, we'll find that Abraham is an example of following God. He's an example of following after the righteousness of the Lord. Look with me in verse number 1. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt," and that word tempt there means to try, "Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham." All God says to him is his name. And notice the response here. "And he said, Behold, here I am." Look in verse number 7. "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Verse number 11. "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." Now there's 2 significant things here in verse number 11. The one is where he answers back. But it's when the angel of the Lord calls to Abraham, he calls his name not just once, but he calls it twice. If you'll study the Scripture, there's a number of people in the Bible that their name is called 2 times in a row. Saul, Saul, why hast thou persecuted me? And other places that are given to us, other people. And so we find that Abraham is having his attention got by God the Father, by his son, and by here the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord, which I believe is none other than probably a representation of Jesus Christ, he says, "Abraham, Abraham." And he says, "Here am I." Here we find the examples of following God. Being a father that God could say, "I know him. I know he will lead his house. I know he will guide his household." And all through the life of Abraham, you'll find him being faithful unto the word of the Lord. So I want us to look this morning, and I'm sure we've done this at other times, maybe a little different ways, but I want us to look this morning in Genesis 22 at these 3 instances where Abraham makes the statement, "Here I am, here I am," or I'm here. And so these 3 times in verse number 1, verse number 7, and verse number 11, I believe Abraham is proving to us and showing to us how he is a good example of following, how he is a good example of being obedient to the command that God gave to him. And really that is the first thing I want us to deal with when he says in verse number 1, it is God that calls unto him, and he just simply says his name, Abraham. Abraham. And immediately Abraham answers him. He doesn't say, yeah, what do you want? He doesn't give some flippant answer to the name that he is called. He just simply says, here I am. And here we see his availability in all these statements, and he is obedient unto the call of the Lord. In verse number 3, immediately after the Lord tells him what he's going to do, or what he wants him to do, it doesn't take many verses before we find out that Abraham is being obedient to the call of his name. And in verse 3 he says, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which the Lord had told him. He goes now, he's starting his journey. And his journey only begins as a faithful servant of the Lord is because of his availability to the Father that called him from heaven. This is Father's Day, and so this sort of fits into that. But we have a Heavenly Father, and he has birthed us, given us a new life. He has regenerated us. He has given us eternity, and he is our Heavenly Father. And he has the right to be able to call us by name and to impress upon us things that we ought to do. Now, sometimes we don't answer like Abraham. Sometimes we say, Lord, are you sure? Now, that's what Moses said. Moses said, I'm here, but are you sure you want me to? I just can't do it because I'm not able to speak. God had told Moses, he said, I want you to lead my people. And Moses immediately says, Lord, I'm not able, I can't do that. I cannot speak. Give me Aaron to do the speaking for me. If you'll read, Aaron didn't have much say because Moses is always talking after that. God had called him to that, and he was able to do that. But here we find Abraham immediately responds to the call of God, being obedient to what God tells him. He says in verse 2, now, after calling his name, and Abraham responds, he says, take now thy son, thy only son. And by the way, Isaac is the only recognized heir of Abraham. It is not Ishmael. It is not that one of the bondswoman. It's not the seed that was come about because of their waiting and inability seemingly to have a child. Ishmael was born years before Isaac, and they'd given up, and they said, Abraham and Sarah come up with this plan how that he could have a, they'd have a child. And they'd have it, we call it today, by a surrogate. And they devised this plan, and Ishmael is in the home. But when it comes down to the promised seed of God, God says you only have one son. That son is Isaac. And God's very explicit to him. He says, take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Here's one afternoon, God says, Abraham, you take Isaac, your only son, and you take him to Mount Moriah, which I believe really is Calvary. I believe Mount Calvary is where Mount Moriah was at that time. And there he says, you take your son, your only son, you take him to Moriah, and there you offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham had no problem understanding what God was saying, because a sacrifice that was unto the Lord was a sacrifice of blood. You take your son, you offer him as a sacrifice. What would we say? We may say, here I am, as Abraham did. We might say, God, yes, you've got my attention, and so I'm waiting for you to tell me what you want me to do, And when we find out what God wants us to do, how many times we say, I don't want to do that. Dear Lord, I don't think I can do that. But Abraham is that great example of following God. He's that great example of being faithful unto his Father in heaven. And so immediately the next morning, he sleeps on it that night. I wonder if Abraham slept that night. I wouldn't. I wonder if Abraham had a relaxing night, understanding and knowing that in the morning tomorrow I've got to go toward Moriah, and there God has told me that I've got to sacrifice my only son. And that sacrifice means that I'm going to have to kill him. I wonder if I'd have slept. I doubt very seriously that I would have, nor would you. So Abraham gets up. Maybe that's why he got up early in the morning. He wrestled with it all night. But he gets up early in the morning. He gets all of his gear together. He takes his animals and he saddles them up, and they go toward the place that God tells him. He is obedient. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, and on the third day, he lifted up his eyes. He saw the place. He lifts up his, after 3 days of traveling on a donkey, after 3 days of struggling to get there, he lifts up his eyes. Not only is he obedient, but now he is observing what God told him would be out before him. He sees that place called Moriah, Mount Moriah. He sees where God has given him instruction there to go. And Abraham lifted his eyes. He saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "You're not going any farther with us. This is a transaction between me and my son." Well, that's salvation. That is what happened that day upon Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, God darkened the sky for that three-hour period, and that was a transaction between him and his son. And God tells Abraham tells those young men that's traveling with them, "You wait here, because we will come back." Well, what a promise. Abraham understood. The book of Hebrews tells us Abraham believed if God permitted him to slay his own son, that God would raise him from the dead. Praise the Lord, that's what he did with Jesus Christ, his own son. And in type and in figure, Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac is a type of God the Son. And they're being offered for a sacrifice. So abide here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. This all came about because Abraham one day said three little words, "Here I am." This all transpired because Abraham was obedient. Abraham was to the point that whatever God told him to do, he said, "I will do it." You don't find any place here where Abraham stuttered. You don't find any place where Abraham drew back. You don't find any place where that Abraham had doubt. He just said, "Here I am, Lord. You've called my name. Here I am. What's my orders?" And God gave him the orders, and he immediately fulfilled that. And he is a great example of us following the Lord. God didn't let him down. God saw him through that ordeal. Now, I believe Abraham's an individual. I believe he's a man just like us. I believe he's a human being just like you and I. But Abraham never expressed any doubt toward God. Abraham never expressed any drawback, and he just followed the Lord. But I don't know, maybe sometimes in his heart, said, "Man, what, Lord, are you sure? Are we doing this?" And God maybe does not permit us to read that, but I believe Abraham was just like you and I, and he maybe had questions in his heart, and maybe he didn't. Maybe he followed God so wholly as an example of us following the Lord that he just had no questions at all. And so he says in verse number 1, "Here I am." And the human mind would say, "Boy, Abraham shouldn't have said that. Abraham should have just turned a deaf ear." No, Abraham did exactly what he should have done. Because you remember, God says, "I know Abraham. And he will guide his children. He will perform those things that need to be done. In verse number 7, where we read, now it's not God the Father speaking, it's His Son speaking. It is Isaac speaking to his father, just like you and I would talk to our dads. And Isaac says in verse 7, he says to his father, and he says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. Here am I. Now, not only is he available to God, he's available to his family. He's available to his son. And here we find that Abraham says, I'm here for you. Isaac knows all about sacrifice. No question. Because he had already recognized something's missing. Isaac said, Father, he says, we have the fire and we have the wood. But in verse number 7, that last part, but where is the lamb? You see, Isaac knew sacrifice involved a lamb. Praise the Lord, the Lamb of God came. We know the sacrifice was the lamb. And Isaac said, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the offering? Where's the lamb? And Abraham makes that statement that I've read so many times and made statement on that. It echoes down through all eternity. God will provide himself a lamb. Now the wording here does not say, you and I would say, well, God will provide for himself a lamb. No, Abraham said God will provide himself a lamb. And we know that Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God. That second person of the Trinity that we study in the Scripture, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God will provide himself a lamb. I don't know if Abraham knew the extent of what he was saying. I don't know if he had all the, I know he didn't have all the instructions and all the material and all the understanding that we have, because we have the printed page, we have the Word of God. But Abraham uttered those words, and I believe under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he says, God will provide himself a lamb. Isaac, he will be the lamb. You're just a type. And so Isaac says, my father. As I said a moment ago, he's not a little boy. He's a full-grown man, I think. And he'd been taught God's word, been taught things of God. He had the understanding that if we're going to offer a sacrifice, there's got to be something to be sacrificed. And Isaac said, where is the lamb? God will provide. Here we find in verse number 12 that Abraham sacrificed his son to the will of God. When he said in verse number 1, here I am, not only was he there available, but he made his family available. He made his son available. And he says here, he says in verse look at verse number 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. Here we are. He's already laid down as the sacrifice. Neither do thou anything unto him. For now, God says, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son. And again he stipulates here, thine only son from me, Abraham. You're faithful. God says, now I know, Abraham, you'll do anything I ask you to do. If you're willing to take your son and put him on an altar and have that knife drawn to kill your son, and God stayed his hand, if it hadn't been God stopping his hand, Isaac would have died. Because Abraham believed God so much that if Isaac died, God was going to bring him back to life. And in typology, he did when he took him up off of that altar. But Abraham believed God so strongly that if God tells me to kill him, I'm going to kill him, because he said he's the promised seed, and so he's got to live. And so if God tells me to kill him, I will offer him, I'll sacrifice him, but God will raise him from the dead. Well, that's more faith than I know of anybody would have. But Abraham was very faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to his son. In Genesis chapter number 20, chapter 25, verse 5 and 6, at the end of time, at the end of their life, it says he gave all he had to Isaac. Isaac was that rose. Isaac was that wonderful gift that came from God. And he sacrificed him in the will of God simply because one day he said, "Here I am." Now let's look at verse number 11 again. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." Abraham only has one way to respond. And he just simply says, "Here am I." It worked pretty good in verse number 1 for him. It worked pretty good in verse number 7 for him. So now we come to verse number 11. And he just simply says, "Here I am." And he says, the verse I read a while ago, "Don't destroy your son." The "here am I" is the result, or it results in a commitment to the faithfulness of Abraham. In verse number 10, Abraham had stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Abraham's working on what God told him to do. Abraham is doing and following the will of God. And he has the knife in hand. He stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord said, "Abraham, Abraham!" Almost a word or the call of excitement. "Don't be sure and stop." You know, you have different ways people say your name, and you know certain things they do. I read the other day somebody said you only have a middle name to be used when you get in trouble as a kid. Wow. How many of us have heard our middle name when we're in trouble? I have the problem that everybody in my home church knows has my middle name whether I'm in trouble or not. There's a family reunion coming up on my mom's side, and I told them I hoped I'd be able to come. And one of my cousins said, "Well, we sure hope you can, Lawrence Delbert." I thought, why did you put that on there that way? First, middle name. So people have different ways of calling our name, and we know what's going on. When my mom said Lawrence Delbert in a certain tone, buddy, I knew I better stop in my tracks. I knew it was probably too late. I'd probably been better off if I'd kept running until I got caught. But when I heard those names put together with that tone of voice, I knew I was done gone over the line. I'd crossed that red line they talk about today that you can cross and no problem. But here we find Abraham answering the angel of the Lord. And he just simply says, "I'm here. I've been here from the very beginning. I am here." He had his hand stretched forth. And in verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. Can you imagine the joy that was in Abraham's heart? He's ready to kill his son. And the angel says, "Abraham, Abraham." And he stayed his hand from committing that and doing that. And so Abraham now is not working on the project that God gives him. Now Abraham is looking and watching, and he sees a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up in a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Here we find Abraham again being obedient, and now we see the results of following the Lord. God wants us to be willing to do it. Doesn't necessarily mean that God makes us do it. God wants us to have a willing heart to do whatever He asks. And if we'll put forth that effort to do that, God knows our heart. That's why God says, "Now I know you're faithful. Now I know you. Now I know you'll do anything I want you to do. If you're not going to withhold your son, you won't withhold anything else." And so Abraham now is I don't want to call it rewarded, but Abraham is blessed because of his faithfulness. And there's a ram caught over there in a bunch of thick bushes. And he takes him up and he kills that ram in the place and in the stead of his son. Verse number 14. And Abraham... And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the word Jireh means provide. Jehovah Jireh, Abraham recognized the Lord had provided that sacrifice. And so he worships the Lord. He says, "And as it is said of this day in the mount, and the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, God, the Lord, provides a lamb, provides a sacrifice. And he now has come to that place of worship in the mount of the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Now I want to say this, and not to be argumentative, but I believe Abraham's worship was a whole lot different than the worship that we hear about today in the so-called houses of God. Abraham didn't have his black lights, and he didn't have his bright shining light. He didn't have his hard music. He just worshiped God because God had given to him a message. Abraham did what God said, and God said, "I know now, Abraham, you will follow me." Oh, no, by the way, Abraham, there's the sacrifice. It's a ram caught in a thicket. Now that ram also becomes a type of a substitute, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, for Isaac. And so we find that Abraham, I believe we'd worship the Lord if that happened in our life. I believe we'd fall down on our face before God and thank Him. I think we'd forget about what the world tells us worship is, and we'd really worship. The Bible says here, "The hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers..." Well, now, if there are true worshipers, that means there are what? False worshipers. "The time is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Not just in spirit, not just in the hoopla, not just in the activities of the flesh, but we worship according to truth. The Word of God. And so Abraham is our faithful father. He is that one that is faithful, an example of following God and faithfulness, just availability. He was always available. Didn't matter if it was God, didn't matter if it was his son, and didn't matter if it was the angel of the Lord. Here I am. I believe we need to have that kind of faithfulness. I'm afraid we don't. I'm afraid I don't. But here's given to us this scripture that we see the great individual named Abraham, an example for us to strive to be able to say, "Here I am." May God help us as fathers, as mothers, as children, as church members, as just people of the Lord. May God help us to say, be able to say, when God calls our name, we say, "Lord, I'm here." And then when He tells us, just say, "Lord, I'll do my best." And then He'll reward us according to the works of our flesh many times. Father Abraham, what a wonderful character he is all the way through the Scripture. Let's stand together this morning.